Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. Today's topic, we'll probably do some open mic, but we're going to start off with the topic of forest bathing. I just became aware of this concept about 3 days ago and really liked it. So we're going to talk about that. And then tomorrow we're going to do a continuation from yesterday on Amish economics and how to apply what the Amish and Mennonites do, financially speaking, how you can apply it to any kind of lifestyle or any type of community that you might be a part of already. So Albert Lee will be back tomorrow. We had like a 2.5-hour discussion yesterday, actually a little bit over 2.5 hours. So we're going to continue that tomorrow. But for today, open mic, but we're going to start off with forest bathing. We're going to do that right and come go to the phone lines right after we listen to Steve Harvey and Faith Street.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter. This here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You You here now? Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the dough. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the dough? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cat. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will.
right. Today's topic, jump off topic at least, because we're going to have open phone lines, open mic, is Forrest Bateman. So let's go, well, before we even, I'll tell you where to go online. If you go to our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio, just go to Blog Talk Radio and look for, you know, It's My House or Solar Landlord on It's My House. You go to our scrolling marquee on there. I've got several pictures on there. And I took about five of those pictures, five or six. I'm going to count it right now. But, well, you know what, before I even go to that, let's get to sunbathing. Not sunbathing, but forest bathing. Exactly what is forest bathing? So what is forest bathing? In 1982, the Japanese Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries created a term, and the term is Shinrin-yoku, that's spelled Shinrin-yoku, Shinrin-yoku, which translates into English to forest bathing, or absorbing the forest atmosphere. The practice of forest bathing encourages people to simply spend time in nature. No actual bathing required. So essentially, it's real simple. Well, let me read another definition here. Wait a minute. It got away from me. But you can simply, while I'm looking for it, you can simply just go in the woods, take a hike, take a lawn chair and sit in the middle of the woods. Here it is. What is forest bathing? Now, here's another definition. The Japanese practice is a process of relaxation known in Japan as Shinrin-yoku. The simple method of being calm and quiet amongst the trees, observing nature around you while breathing deeply, can both help adults and children de-stress and boost health and well-being in a natural way. All right. That's forest bathing. So like you said, you don't have to actually bathe with soap and water. Just be out in nature. Now, if you go to our Blog Talk page on our scrolling card, marquee for today. let's see. If you go to our scrolling marquee for today, now there are pictures that I took. I'll tell you which ones I took. Okay. If you go to our scrolling marquee for today, there's one, and I look, all right, in our little 4 acres here in Florida, I've got a picture, an aerial view of what that 4 acres looks like from an aerial view. And you'll see it's, we got a lot of trees here. That's one, I didn't take that picture, but. Now, another picture on there, you see a dirt road, and that dirt road, you see lines of trees on both sides of the road. That's what it looks like. That road leads up to our 4-acre property, and we have a name for it. The name of our 4 acres, which you can consider your 4 acres too, is titled Earth Wealth E Village, which stands for, the E stands for energy. Earth Wealth Energy Village, because there's a lot of earth wealth that is there, And earth wealth, let me define that. Earth wealth would be the trees, the dead leaves that are on the floor of the 4 acres, the tree branches that might be on the floor. All of that is earth wealth that can be converted into energy that can heat your home or cook your meals. There are some open spaces within that 4 acres where the sun, direct sunlight can come through, and we can collect solar energy. So that, and then we got, you know, there's water, the ocean of water under that, so we can get well water, rainwater, and all that. So that's why I titled the place, the name of the place, Earth Wealth E-Village, because it's very abundant in earth wealth. Anyway, so let's see. We have another picture. I took the picture of the I took a picture of the highway, I mean the road that leads up to the property. I took that one. There's another picture of open space there. I took that one. This one too. Took another picture of open space. And there's earth wealth all through those pictures. Okay. And it took another picture of a guy with a white shirt on. I took that one. Then there's another picture that I took with, you see two, it's three people, it's three men in that picture. But you only see two of them very, very clearly. And I have posted these on the, I'll repost them on our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV. So I took about four. Then there's another picture of me. Now, there's a lone picture of me. I'm the one. You see a picture. There's one picture on here where we're building a, I guess you can call it a tiny house. We were using earthship materials for the most part. But I'm the one that's standing up. I'm the only one standing up, and then there's three people below me, three or four people below me. But that's a picture of me. I didn't take that one, but somebody took that one. So, and then there's a definition of a Yoku. Earth, and then we have another picture of forest bathing. And then it has the benefits, another flower on here. It's the benefits of forest bathing. Once again, no real soap and water bathing required, but it's just to get out in nature and relax and let those creative ideas flow into your mind. At our place, you might see a deer come through. And then there's some other interesting things that are, you know, sort of walking distance from there. But in any event, and we're going to open this up and invite you guys down so you can visit us and help us, develop a place. We don't want to get too developed because we want to have it set up like a nomad community where we can set up and have a full village one day, but then within a matter of hours, we can disassemble it, and it's like nobody was ever there. Now I'll explain the reason on that at another time. But so this winter, hopefully we can meet some of you at Earth Wealth E-Village, and this will be our flagship, so to speak. There's some articles or videos on forest bathing online. You can check that out if you got any questions. Like I said, I just found out about this about 3 days ago, the term forest bathing, but I'm one who likes to hike. I love nature. I love streams and mountains and all that type of stuff. So I'm glad I ran across that term. All right. Other than that, we can talk about anything you guys want to talk about. Remember, tomorrow we have Albert Lee back. And we're going to touch on, we're going to take off from yesterday. The topic was Amish economics, but how can that apply to you in your everyday life, wherever you might live, globally speaking, particularly if you're living on the grid in a Western country? All right, I'm going to find my way back to, we're going to take phone calls here. Let's see. I got to find my way back to my Blog Talk studio. And one of the trending topics that has been out there is Kanye. I don't know all the details on that, so if anybody does know that, 619-768-2945. I'm behind on my Kanye news, but it seems like he's been trending. And I'm just waiting for the my studio to populate. Okay. We have one caller, but they disappeared on me. Okay, I think that was area code 602. My board is popping up people and then they're disappearing. Okay. All right, well, 602, if you're still out there, just press 1 again because I had you on the board but lost it. Okay, well, open mic. So I don't know what's going on with Kanye. He's been kind of trending, so I know he put up, I don't know, some T-shirt they had, what, White Lives Matter? So I don't know the backstory on that. Let's see. All right, anyway, 602 disappeared. So if you're listening, because I don't see everybody on the board all the time. Okay. All right, anyway, I'm going open mic, and I'm trying to think of, besides Kanye, what else is trending? So if you guys can think of me, just press 1 and let me know. Let me see. Let me go to Kanye West. Okay, the family of, I'm reading about Kanye now, the family, I'm just reading headlines from NPR, the family of George Floyd plans to file a $250 million lawsuit against Kanye. Lawyers for the mother of George Floyd's child share intent to sue Kanye for $250 million. Well, let's see what all this is about. Okay, wait a minute. Drink Champs pulls Kanye West episodes due to false and hurtful comments. All right, well, let's see what's cooking up here with Kanye. Let's go with the NPR story. The family of George Floyd plans to file a $250 million lawsuit against Ye, which is, that's his name for Kanye, says the family of George Floyd announced Tuesday that they will file a $250 million lawsuit against Ye, the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, following comments he made about Floyd's death on the podcast titled Drink Champs. Hennepin County Medical Examiner Office ruled that George Floyd's death was a homicide caused by Derek Chauvin's kneeling on Floyd's neck for over 8 minutes. But Kanye, who was a guest on last weekend's episode, of the podcast hosted by rapper Nore, N-O-R-E, and DJ EFN, put forth the idea that it wasn't Chauvin who caused Floyd's death, but he had died from fentanyl use. Okay. And I see where the lawsuit's coming from. The family seeks damages for defamation, harassment, and more. The lawsuit will be filed by Roxy Washington, the mother of Gianna Floyd, George Floyd's only daughter and sole beneficiary of his estate. Washington plans to sue Ye, his business partners, and his associates for harassment, misappropriation, defamation, and infliction of emotional distress, seeking $250 million in damages, according to a statement from Washington's attorney. Kanye's comments are a repugnant attempt to discount George Floyd's life and to profit from his inhumane death, says attorney Pat D. Dixon III. We will hold Mr. West accountable for his flagrant remarks against Mr. Floyd's legacy. Attorneys for the family have also issued a cease and desist letter to Kanye for his comments. Free speech rights do not include harassment, lies, misrepresentation, and the misappropriation of George Floyd's legacy. Some words have consequences, and Mr. West will be made to understand that, said Kate Harper Williams, another of Washington's attorneys. Ye's First Amendment rights will be a factor in this case. On the matter of First Amendment rights, however, the family may have an uphill legal battle against Ye, said Roy S. Gutterman, the director of the Tully Center for Free Speech at University of Syracuse. First off, there's no possibility of defamation action here because there would be no living plaintiff whose reputation has been damaged, Gutterman told NPR News. Libel and slander require a live plaintiff, and family members or surviving members or family members do not have standing to sue for defamation. One possible path of this lawsuit, though, would be that the allegations of intentional infliction of emotional distress, Gutterman said, although it would be difficult to claim, this requires the plaintiff to prove that the statements were intentional or reckless outside the bounds of accepted decency and morality and casually connected to some viable harm. He said, this tort often is difficult to claim, collect on, especially with a media defendant. However, proving this claim is not impossible. Notably, Sandy Hook family successfully sued Alex Jones on this secondary tort in a recent civil trial in Connecticut. Well, what would you guys do? All right, here's another trending topic involving Kanye West. Kanye West's hatred for Jews will poison conservatism. Well, now, what's that about? Here's another one. Kanye West is giving White Lives Matter shirts to homeless people. Well, let's read about that. Kanye West is giving White Lives Matter T-shirts to homeless people with the help of an accused serial rapist. Following Kanye West's inflammatory White Lives Matter shirts at his Paris fashion show earlier this month, it was unclear where the graphic T-shirts would end up. But in a video posted by Ian Connor, a West associate and popular stylist who was accused of sexual harassment by at least a half dozen women, it appears that West's team handed out T-shirts for free in Los Angeles Skid Row neighborhood Sunday night. Courtesy of Kanye West, a voice says in a quick video, with the camera panning around to show the busy street and a Sprinter van loaded up with boxes, a man wearing a Homeboy Industries a nonprofit devoted to rehabilitation of former L.A. gang members, his head towards the car as a man filming encouraged him to hang it up at their food stand. Okay, so. Kanye's been busy lately, handing out White Lives Matter T-shirts to the homeless. Now, this what's this about? He said something that got. I'm even afraid to even mention that name. So I'm not. I don't have a dog in that fight. Looks like he's getting the divorce. Kanye, that is. Let's see, his White Lives Matter shirt and Tucker Carlson appearance prove it. Okay. All right, well, if you guys got any comments on any of that, let me find my way back to the studio. I'm working on a phone here, so I can't keep track of who's on the board or whatever. Let's see. One day we might have to dissect Kanye West, getting to see if we can get inside of his mind. He's a first-generation billionaire. And that's got to account for something. There's less than 3,000 of those around the planet. Okay. All right. Here we go. 314, your mic is open, and it's 10:15 a.m. where you are.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, get them callers out of the way. You can get off early and save money and accomplish many things. How does
that
sound?
It sounds great. You got the floor all to yourself right now.
I really enjoyed your guest yesterday. He really has some good. He brings good information to contribute to your shows and topics.
Well, he's coming back tomorrow. He'll be back tomorrow, and we're gonna get him on real like early and cut out like I might just play Claude Anderson and leave the other stuff out tomorrow morning. But he'll be back tomorrow morning, so.
You talk about Kanye West. Kanye West, now you heard me say this before, Kanye West should move on and get away from that crowd that he became friends with when he was coming up on his journey. And they served their purpose then, but now they become a hindrance and a detriment. Because they're now trying to ride on him to get places that they other words would not. So he should move on and start taking on new associates in order to further himself. You know, a good example that gets a lot of criticism is Michael Jordan. Mm. Another person who's a good example is Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal is doing great things business-wise. And you got some other Lil Wayne does good things business wise. You got Floyd Mayweather, and you got quite a few of them blacks that have came up through the process of entertainment and sports that's doing great things, but they get hardly no mention at all because they not don't have the drama. The drama bring you down. Kanye, send postcards back to your friends. Give them your condolences when they're needed and congratulations otherwise. But stay away from. You know, that's one thing that my the old people should say, beware of who you keep as friends. Beware of who you travel with. That's a travel along sometimes.
True. So, well, you're reminding me of, what's his name? I didn't know much about his music or nothing like that, but the entertainer Nipsey Hussle, who was, I guess you can classify him as a rapper. He was, he had opened up a business in, I guess what they call the hood, out in Los Angeles, California. And somebody shot and killed him. And I understand the guy who shot and killed him, he knew. You know, so.
Well, that's the way that those things do happen, L.A. You can't hang around those people. I'm sorry. And it's not to say it can't happen from others, but why would you open up a business in the hood? It's dangerous there.
Well, I mean, we know
we've heard many stories before of prominent people who attempt to do that, and they run into some devastating consequences. Hey, Judge Joe Brown. Judge Joe Brown is probably a hundred millionaire. And he tried living in his old community, and I'd be damned if people in the neighborhood burglarized his house, reported by him 6 times.
Mm.
And when you get through eating dinner, you can't walk in the neighborhood, get your exercise like we used to see elderly people do in the past. They don't do that no more. Matter of fact, it's so bad they live behind bars.
True.
And that's a shame. That is totally a shame. You talk about inadequacies and equity, the difference between black and white. Well, what happens to your equity in your property when you have these characters move in your neighborhood? And the things that go along, that's part of their culture. It's got to be part of their culture because is developed elsewhere, allowed to grow rapid, and then when they have to move because of whatever reason, in many cases because the infrastructure where they were just deteriorates to the point where it's condemnation and unsafe, so they move someplace else. They had that same concern in North St. Louis County. When they had the first black St. Louis County Superintendent Charles Dooley. I knew Dooley sort of. He used to ride motorcycles. He used to be with the Free Willers, I think the name of the club was. Oh. I knew Free Willers, but I think he was a member there also. But he became mayor of Northwoods. Then he ran for the St. Louis County Superintendent position and won. First black.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we start having an overwhelming number of Section 8 being inserted in North St. Louis County, which, you know, a lot of blacks stay there. Nice homes, especially in the Bell Fountain area. And next thing you know, you got these old townhouses. You know how they used to build townhouses back in the day? They still exist today. Well, they turned them into government housing, Section 8. And people complain about that stuff.
I don't like Section 8 in certain neighborhoods. Here's my beef with Section 8. And there's a need for it. But I'm speaking from personal experience. I used to take Section 8 tenants or renters or whatever you want to call them. But the problem I had with them, not with all of them, but more, I would say bare minimum 50% of the cases that I had, it's they bring drama. Some of the young ladies, they got boyfriend problems. So if, you know, so-and-so doesn't want, you know, I don't want these other men around my kids and they get into a beef. I'll give you the most extreme example I had, because I've had fights that I had to clean up behind. But I had just fixed up this apartment building. I mean, this particular unit. I had a four-unit building in D.C. And, I mean, brand-new door, brand-new windows, paint job. I mean, that car. Long story short, this guy got into a beef with his girlfriend or mother of his child, and he ended up committing suicide. Now, I had to clean up. I just put money into that place. See, that's how I'm looking at it. So, or I don't deal with Section 8. I don't deal with Section 8. Some people love it, but I don't deal with Section 8 because they got two. Unless you get somebody older, over 50 or 60 years old, but the rank and file Section 8, for me, is too much hassle. And then when they go on, I know now, like in the DMV area, the D.C. area, now you can be in a nice suburban neighborhood, but now, you know, you got Section 8s going in there, but that ends up being a trap house. Not in all cases, but there's enough cases that I know about. So I don't like Section 8. They pay well, but it's all relative to what? Because any money that you get, you're going to have to turn it because somebody then tore up something, somebody. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. If anybody's dealt with Section 8, give us your
opinion. It came about, you know, you remember the six family apartment buildings? They used to be all over the place way back in the day. Jews owned them. Like in St. Louis, you had the Coltners, Silvers. Okay. Then when those areas started reaching a point of condemnation, they sold them to these proxies called Land Clearance for Development. And then Land Clearance for Development, which was government, took them over and started acting as landlords. And, of course, in comes that element. At the same time, you've seen a uptick in condominiums in the outskirts of St. Louis, U City, Olivet, which was, of course, owned by the Jews. Now, out there on Olive, on Delmar Boulevard, just before you get to I-70, there in U City, there was a building project, man. These are some elegant apartments. Some of the roofing structures was copper. You can see them today. And I understand these are mostly Jewish tenants. This is Jewish area, in University City. And hell, I understand that Section 8 is permitted there too. And you got this thing too with these illegals. You know, the Democrats depend on illegals and the media in order to win the election. And the illegals are given under Bill Clinton. They created a deal called the I-10 for illegals in order to try to recapture taxes, because illegals cannot get Social Security cards. They can get that I-10. And these illegals are being coached. Some sources say that, for instance, in one address in Atlanta, you had over 8,000 dependents, because when you're I-10, you don't have to prove who your dependents are. Hell, they can't. Who can they be? You're illegal. So any child that you have is illegal too, but that's the way it goes. And when you got the I-10, I mean, you can get home mortgages. And when you sign on your home mortgage, you can take that paperwork to the local voters registration. You can register to vote. And, of course, the bank will give you a credit card. All this is going on to illegals who can't get a Social Security number because they're illegal. And we're talking about millions of people.
So now this includes the D.C. this year had between April and last month, 9,000 people that came up from south of the border. Chicago's got them and some other cities. So you're talking about that demographic?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're illegal. And they use that technique called the I-10. And if you married to one, I think they might have grandfathered. If you married to one, that person, your spouse can get a I-10 number, and you can claim them, even though they don't have never even been in the country.
Well, I guess we're going to be hearing about more of them pretty soon, within about 18 to 24 months.
You got one candidate out there in Wisconsin, a black man by the name of Mandela Barnes. And I was reading an article on him. He said he favors immediate citizenship for illegal aliens. He's running for, he's a Democratic Wisconsin Senate candidate. Mm-hmm. You know, with the advent of Obama, you got all kind of blacks running for election now, especially federal positions. Because why? It pays damn good. And if you run under the Democratic banner, blacks going to automatically vote for you.
True.
Then you have to ask yourself, what was it all along? I thought the blacks said that we want somebody black who looks like us to represent us. But if they come in under a Republican banner, they don't have anything to do with them. They call them all sorts of names. So what is it? Is it the skin color? The political affiliation? And what is it, L.A.?
Don't know.
It has to be some rhyme and reason to it. Isn't that what you hear all the time? We need to have our own stores. We need to have our own police force. We need to have our own community. Isn't that what we call segregation? And isn't that the tune of skin color? Then you hear all skin ain't kin. I mean, what the hell is it? What is black, by the way? Do you have a definition? What is black?
That is a very good question. We're going to put it out to the audience. People, define what black is. We already know there is no country by the name of black. So we know that much. Maybe there's a city somewhere that I don't know about titled called Black, and the citizens of black. Well, if you live in black, you're a citizen. I don't know if that exists.
Hell, Clarence Thomas is black, but they hate him. Why?
Well,
Tim Scott is black,
weird.
But they don't like him. Why?
Right.
So is it politics?
And if you go to Africa, many, many people who go to Africa seeking kinfolk find out that many Africans do not identify as black. They identify by their tribal name. So that's a very good question. I can't really honestly answer that question. If anybody in the audience knows, just press 1-619-768-2945. What is black?
So if you got Tim Scott, who's a Republican, you got Tim Scott, who's black, and he's Republican, is identified here in the United States black, and blacks hate him. But in Detroit, you got Dugan, who's a Democratic mayor, and he's white. and you got a city that's 80% black, voted for him several times. In Tennessee, Memphis, Shelby County, either the 4th or the 5th congressional district. Harold Ford used to be the congressperson there. He was black for a long time. He retired, tried to put his son in place. His son, mulatto. He's obvious, mulatto. But, you know, they call them black nowadays. And the people got rid of him and voted for Steve Cohen. He's a Democrat. He's white. And the Congressional Black Caucus has a standing rule, no whites allowed, and no blacks allowed who are Republican. So what the hell is it?
Wait, you're saying no black Republicans are allowed?
Even if you voted by a majority black district, Steve Cohen is voted by a majority black district. A large population black district, Shelby County, which includes Memphis. So I ask you, I'm confused.
Well, does anybody have a Webster's Dictionary? Well, let's go to Webster's Dictionary. What is black? Who is black? That's the question. Who
is
black?
Is it black or is it the political affiliation? What is it? It can't be the skin color because they voted for a white mayor in Detroit who is 88% black population several times. Dugan. So what do they want? They say we need to have our own schools. We need to have black history taught. We need to have our own stores. Buy black. Black Lives Matter. So what the heck is it?
I'm looking up the definition of black, and well, here's the first definition I'm looking at. It of the very darkest color owing to the absence or complete absorption of light, the opposite of white.
Darkest color.
Of any human group having dark colored skin, especially of African or Australian Aboriginal ancestry. Now, I've got some Aboriginal friends from Australia. And they're Aboriginals. That's how they identify.
Yeah,
and
but look at the definition
parts,
you
I mean,
just read.
Mm-hmm.
What did the definition say? It said dark. What, Derek Jeter, he ain't dark.
Color. But see,
Adam
that's not related
Powell
to any
dark.
People.
Alicia Keys ain't dark.
Adam Clayton Powell wasn't dark.
I mean, come on, let's go right down the line. We can name a whole bunch of them that's not quote-unquote D-A-R-K as that definition you just read describes. They are not dark. They can pass for white. Kathy Hughes ain't dark. They call her black.
No. That's true, they do.
Cory Booker ain't dark. They call him black. So what the hell is black? This is nothing but more than this is nothing more than a shuck and jive bamboozle. Shuck and jive is what it is. I mean, you can go right down the line. Yeah, Michael Jackson wasn't black, was he?
That's a good question.
He wasn't. Especially when he died, he wasn't the darker of the dark. He's nowhere near that. It's a bunch of bull crap. That's why this stuff don't work. That's why their ideologies don't go no place. They fall flat on their damn face. Can't even get them started up. The battery's dead. Out of gas. It's a bunch of bull crap.
We got a hand up. They might know who is black. 410, who is black?
Good morning, Brother Hotep, Brother L.A., and to my esteemed friend in St. Louis. I want to say peace and blessings to you all. While you got your dictionary open, Brother L.A., look up nigger, the word nigger.
I certainly will. All right, let's see. Give me a second here. Okay, all right. Okay, in the English language, the word nigger, N-I-G-G-E-R, is an ethnic slur used against black people. Here we go, what's black again? Especially African Americans, because it is considered extremely offensive, even if only mentioned and not used as a slur. It is often referred to by the euphemism, the N-word. Now, that's a definition. Let me look at another one. Let's see. This is the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. They've got three definitions here. Definition number one, used as an insulting or contemptuous term for a black person. Definition number two, used as an insulting and contemptuous a member of a class or group of people who are systematically subjected to the discrimination and unfair treatment. Then they got uses of nigger. Well, that's what I got so far, Beasley.
So, is there such a land called nigger?
That's a good question. My theory is, now there's a country called Niger, N-I-G-E-R, just one G.
I see nigger.
Niger. No, to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Look up the
definition. Is there a continent called nigger?
No, sir.
But you, me, and my brother over there in St. Louis is a nigger, according to that definition, right?
It depends on who you're talking to, yes.
So what does the dictionary say?
Well, hold on, let me go back to it.
It's an ethnic slur.
Ethnic slur.
For African Americans, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, now, hold. This, as a noun, a contemptuous term for a black or dark-skinned person. That's another dictionary I'm reading on a definition. Wikipedia's got a whole slew. All right, according to Wikipedia, the English and the English language.
What did you say, black or dark-skinned person?
Yes, black or dark-skinned. And that
well,
could
here
be,
we
that
go
could
back again. Here we go again. Kathy Hughes ain't black or dark-skinned. Derek Jeter ain't black or dark-skinned. Cory Booker is not black or dark-skinned. Colin Powell was black or dark-skinned.
Okay, I'm talking now. In one of those definitions, it said for African Americans, didn't it?
It did say African American.
Okay, so that would cover all of us, wouldn't it? Whether regardless of what your skin tone is, that would cover all of us, wouldn't it?
All right. Well, wait a minute. Since you brought up the term African American, Elon Musk is African American.
Yeah, and Teresa Hines Carey is African American. What's his name? On the newscaster, he's African American. Doggone, I can't think of his name. You got a whole group out there in California, a whole community out there that's African American, and they white skinned. So what the hell is black?
And according to that dictionary, they're niggers. If they're African Americans, they're niggers, aren't they?
No, it's not because the dictionary said dark,
you put it
dark
way?
Skin.
Wait.
All right, hold on. Let me read it again. In the English language, now this is, all right, this is Wikipedia. In the English language, a word nigger is an ethnic slur used against black people, especially African Americans. But in another definition, it did say African American, because nope. African American, Elon Musk is a straight up legalized African American.
Exactly.
And so is Theresa Hines. She is African American.
Exactly. So now, they would be niggas too, wouldn't they?
We ain't talking about niggas. We're talking about black. What is black? What is black?
It did not say that. It did not say. Read it to him because he can't hear very well. Read it to him.
Look up the definition of niggerly. Look up the definition of niggerly.
It means someone that's tight. It means a miser. That's what it means.
Look up the definition and read it to us, L.A., of niggerly.
Yeah, or read it to you.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay. That's spelled N-I-G-G-E-R-Y. Oh, is it L-A?
A-R-D.
Oh, okay.
N-I-G-G-E-R-D-L-Y.
Okay, L-Y. Okay, niggardly, serving out rations with a niggardly hand. It's in a stingy or meager manner.
A judge used that word, and the news media came all down on him, said it was a racial slur.
Hey, look, let me do this here. I'm talking now. You had your chance. You had your chance. So now, if that's the case, let's go back to where we started. It's an African-American. Well, you say Elon Musk, Theresa Hines Carey, and all of them are African-Americans. So if that's the case, they're niggers. They're niggers. And look, if you're niggerly, that means that you're stingy and tight, and you know what? You're tight-fisted with your money. So all I'm saying is that this thing about black, I want you to look up this word, white, and tell me what the dictionary definition for white is.
Okay. All right, here we go. White. As an adjective, the color of milk or fresh snow due to the reflection of most of the wavelengths of visible light. The opposite of black. Another definition is belonging to or denoting a human group having a light-colored skin, chiefly used of peoples of European extraction.
So now what I've done is I've erased all the confusion that my brother over there has. You know what, white, when you say refer to people as white, you can't find a nation or a continent called white land. And white refers to a certain racial ethnic group. Black refers to a certain racial ethnic group. American refers to anybody regardless of where they come from or their color. So now, an African-American refers to anybody regardless of their color. So now, I don't know where he's confused at or whether he wants to be confused. But the thing is, nobody asked the question, well, who's white? Show me where a white continent is or show me where a white land is. But when it comes to black, all of a sudden we get confused. But now if he can't come up with a definition or an understanding of what black means and what white means, then you know what? You're wasting your time and your breath. But let me give you this. I'm going to go even further and deeper to help
Wait a minute. You ain't going to bogart the show. I got to say something.
Say what the hell you mean.
I'm going to say what the hell I mean. You hear and understand that?
All right, P.R., you got the floor.
Now,
you got the floor.
Let me say this. You see how he tried to mix and confuse things? The question was, what is black? Like
that's
Black
no
Lives
question.
Matter. Like White Lives Matter. He want to bring in and confuse things using the word nigger. That wasn't the question. The question was, is what is black, like they have on some census. It has nothing to do with nigger. African-American either. Nigerians don't designate themselves as black. So what the heck is black? It's a bunch of confusion and a bunch of bamboozlement. That's what it is. It don't make no damn sense. Derek Jeter's skin is not dark, as the dictionary says. Dark and black. Adam Clayton Powell's skin was not dark and black. Alexander Dumas, if you want to go back, and John Henson's skin was not dark and black, but you got these elements, these loudmouths, want to accuse people of being black. It's a bunch of confusion. Don't make no damn sense. And like you made good reference to, Elon Musk, Noah, Teresa Hines Carey. What's the guy that ran on the guy that used the artificial legs, the sprinter?
You're right. I forgot his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. He's African-American.
You're damn
or
right. You come here to this country. You got a whole community of them out there in California. They came from South Africa. Living here in the United States. And blacks don't consider themselves no African-American. You want to use that. I ain't African. You see how these arguments go? They use these arguments, and they forever change the definition, coming up with new words, as it benefits them for the purpose of confusion. Ball of confusion, as the song went. Go ahead, L.A.
Well, we have
okay,
to put things, you have to listen to the context. Oh, hold on, baby. A lot of times you got to listen to the context, because what a lot of, all right, this is my point of view. A lot of times when we say white people, you're lumping in, because we can break white folks down into ethnic groups too. You know, Germans, because I've lived in that community in Germany for 5 years, they don't refer to themselves as white. They're Germans, okay? They're not going to allow you to lump them in with Russians or anybody from Eastern Europe. It's a classism thing over there. Same thing. With this war going on between Russia and Ukraine, now both of them speak Russian, and Ukrainians have their own language as well. But a Ukrainian is not going to identify as Russian, and a Russian is not going to identify with a Ukrainian. So we have to look at things in context. Beasley, you got the floor, Beasley.
Nor is Haitians and Jamaicans going to identify themselves as black here in the United States. Nigerians don't
Mexicans are not going to Mexicans are not going to identify with Cubans. Cubans are not going to identify with people from the Dominican Republic or Argentina.
Yeah, you got Americans that's got dark skin. They don't call themselves black.
Let Beasley over there in St. Louis talk. Let Beasley talk. The Beasley over in St. Louis, let him talk.
No.
You
go,
too
go
damn
ahead,
old.
You got
you
the floor.
You older than anybody on this line. You sound like a damn fool.
Well, see, that's why I said that. He said, Beasley, you talk, but you ran your damn mouth. So let me finish.
Let me reclaim.
Beasley, you got the floor. You got the floor, Beasley. Go ahead.
You know, when people talk, they don't even realize what they're saying. When it comes to black, when you say black, everybody's confused. It's a bunch of confusion. The question is, who created this confusion? That's the thing. And like you said, Brother L.A., you know what? There are different shades of white. If you go into Italy and you go south of Rome, those are dark-skinned people, especially in, where is it, Sicily. If you go to the Nordic countries like Finland and Denmark, they're a different shade of white folks from the French people and the Spanish people in Spain and Portugal. But see, the only confusion comes in when you talk about black folk. And the reason why we are confused is because we want to be everything except the socio-political construct that's been constructed here in America. See, the only place that color comes into view or into any type of situation is in America. See, whenever a person from Europe comes over here, regardless of what their shade of color is or their hair color is or their eye color is, the minute they come over here and step on the tarmac, they're white. The minute a black immigrant comes over here, he's Nigerian or he's Puerto Rican or ever what have you, and all of a sudden, see, he or she is referred to from the nation they come from. Hispanics have different shade colors, all the way from the blackest of 10,000 midnights all the way to snow white. But when they speak Spanish, they organize around their language. But the thing is, where black folks get messed up at, and look, by the way, mulatto means mule, which means what? A mutation or a mixed breed. But the thing is, what happens is when black folks get up here, well, I ain't black. No, you're not black. It's a socio-political construct. Now, if you want to be outside of that, then good. There's no argument. You know, I mean, you can be whatever you want to be in America. But when other people see you, they see you as black. When you see other people out there that's got European ancestry, you see them as white, no confusion. So the thing is, when my brother said there's a whole lot of foolishness and a whole lot of confusion, yeah, it is. But who created the confusion when it comes from people of African descent that were slaves here? That's the question you got to ask, and for what purpose? And when you get down to that, then you can get rid of the foolishness and you can get down to a decent conversation. Now, let that Beasley come in that lives over there in St. Louis and let me see
Does anybody know who coined the term African-American?
Yeah.
Who coined
Jesse
that
Jackson
term?
And Randall Robinson. Jesse Jackson and Randall Robinson did it.
Because, and we know what they meant by that, but
have you ever heard of a man by the name of Martin Delaney?
No, I haven't.
I have.
Google him and see when he was born.
Martin Delaney, okay. Okay, let's see. Martin Delaney, journalist. They got three pictures of him here. Okay, Martin Robinson Delaney. Okay, Martin Robinson Delaney. Martin Robinson Delaney was an abolitionist, journalist, physician, soldier, and writer, and arguably the first proponent of black nationalism. Delaney is credited with the
May 6, 1812.
Now, hang on. When were Jesse Jackson and Randall Robinson born? Were they born before 1812?
No.
No, they weren't.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. You got people that come and make these assertions, and the poor Negro, oh, I'm using another word. You know how susceptible and spooked he is. He's very spooked.
Ask him how did Martin Delaney described his descendants of slaves. Ask him
you
how
said,
did he...
You said that the, he asked you what was the term of
Beasley, let Pianki finish out his thought. Let him complete
what
his
thought.
What
was your question about African-Americans? What was your question about the word African-American, L.A.?
Who originally coined the term African-American?
And what did your...
And Beasley said Jesse Jackson, somebody,
and
Randall
Jackson
Robinson.
And Randall Robinson.
There you go, right. Talking. Every time you run his butt up against the wall, he wants to go and try to yell, yell, yell. They also loud, too. You ever notice that, how loud they are? They don't want you to say anything, just like they want you to vote a certain way. But I just showed you, Martin Delaney was using that term, and he was born in 1812. My goodness. My goodness. No wonder. Have you ever heard of the 10th Cavalry Colored Troops?
No, I haven't.
Otherwise known as Buffalo Soldiers.
I have heard of that term.
What happened to that term? Colored. C-O-L-O-R-E-D. And then, if you can't figure out what happened to colored, look at your U.S. Census, the most recent census, and see what the choices are on there. It's confusion. What are they all peed off about Kanye West for and right now and Candace on? Because they walk around with T-shirts on that says White Lives Matter. You know, no whites ever use a general terminology of calling themselves white. Even when you looked at the ship's manifest of immigrants coming here during that period of time, the period of time of Ellis Island, none of them described themselves as being white. Just like when you got people of quote-unquote dark skin, they don't describe themselves as being black neither. Africans sure don't. Matter of fact, they think of it as derogatory. I damn near seen an entire fisticuff amongst a convention in Philadelphia called the DIOP Conference. There's some Africans in the audience. And the person at the podium, matter of fact, Dr. Ben was there. The person at the podium referred to them as black, and they said, we ain't black. And they for real. You hear what I said? They for real. What I mean, genuine, authentic Africans. I pass the mic.
Hold on, Beasley. I want to read this about Martin Delaney, and thank you, Pianki, for bringing his name up. Let me read a little bit about him. Robeson Delaney, May 6, 1812, birthday, January 24, 1885, that was his sunset, was an abolitionist, journalist, physician, soldier, and writer, and arguably the first proponent of black nationalism. Delaney is credited with the Pan-African slogan, Africa for Africans. All right. So he was here and gone before Jesse Jackson was even a thought.
And Marcus Garvey too, right?
Yep. Huh? Yep. And it says.
And Marcus Garvey was
Delaney,
a U.S. citizen.
All right. Listen to this. Delaney dreamed of establishing a settlement in West Africa. He visited Liberia and a United States colony founded by the African Colonization Society, and lived in Canada for several years
But when the American Civil War began, he returned to the United States. When the United States colored troops, and we colored, that's what we used to call that too, were created in 1863, he recruited them. Commissioned as a major in February 1865, Delaney became the first African-American field grade officer in the United States Army. All right, Breezley, you got the floor.
You know, now, as if I didn't know who Martin Delaney was. You know, you asked me a question.
I didn't.
You asked me a question, and I gave you an answer. Now, the deal is this. Did he say African-American?
This reads Africa for Africans, in quotes.
Now, look.
That's what he said.
I'm going to give you this, Brother L.A. Those people back then knew who they were. We don't know who the hell we are. But here's the trick. The slogan that those people used back in that day was Afro, A-F-R-O, American, or African, Africans. They didn't use African-American. If you look at that paper right down, right up the road from you, it was called the Afro, wasn't it? World famous?
Right out of Baltimore.
And if you look at all of those earlier terms, it was Afro, not African-American. Now, you can say those are semantics, but you asked me a question. I gave you an answer. I know who the hell Martin Delaney is, and he's one of my heroes. But see, we get wrapped up in semantics. He didn't say African-American. He said Africans. That's who we're supposed to be. But you have a lot of people, well, I was born over here. I wasn't born in Africa. But I go back to my original statement. See, we want to be confused. But everybody else ain't confused. They know who the hell we are. They don't care what your religion is. They don't care what your educational status is. They don't care how much money you got. And I gave you three definitions which should be make it perfectly clear, four definitions, which makes it perfectly clear where we need to be. Now, let me give you this one. When I was growing up, when you called somebody black back in that day, when I was growing up, that would have been a fist fight. And all of us was born right here in the United States. It wasn't until the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X started referring to people as black. Before that, if you had to call somebody a dumb black nigger, you would have had a fight on your hands. And the thing is, we have evolved and gotten to the point now where we're almost coming to a point where we can come up and halfway organize ourselves around a socio-political construct. Yeah, you know what? It's a damn fool for a Nigerian to come over here, and the first thing he tell you, he ain't black. You can't get an Italian to come over here and say he ain't white. You can't get a Frenchman to come over here and say he ain't white. And you can go on and on with those Europeans. In fact, those people over there in the Ukraine, when they come over here, they're going to be white. But no, it's just us folk, us black folk, that want to come up with all kinds of crap. Now, look. I'm going to give you this. Black is an attitude or a frame of mind. Now, if you don't want to be black, that's good. But when you step your behind out there in the public or either something comes up, guess what they're going to refer to you as? That's all I got to say. See, we don't know who the hell we are, but they do. And they're going to treat us as such. So now we can get into these arguments and these semantics. But the trick is, hey, they know who we are, and they're going to treat us the way they think we should be treated because of who we are. And that should be the message here. But let that Beasley over there in St. Louis.
Hold on, Beasley, let me throw this out there before Pion gets to my game. And it like there, and I watch, like we all do, quite a bit of YouTube. And so you have videos of, for the sake of this conversation, black Americans or African Americans that their dream is to go to Nigeria's whatever country in Africa. And they go over there, and many of them get disappointed, and it wasn't what they thought it was. In other words, they're going over there as black, and they're looking at, I'm going back to my skin folk because I really believe they're kin folk. But when they get over there in Africa, what they find out is, number one, many Africans of dark skin identify by their tribe, number one. Number
yes,
two, there are over 2,000 indigenous languages spoken in Africa. So if somebody from D.C. or Miami or Los Angeles, who happens to be, for the sake of this conversation, black, and a black American, and they've been socialized and culturalized as Americans, when you go over to Senegal, but you don't know how to speak Wolof, okay, you can't communicate in the local dialects. And there's over 2,000 indigenous languages. So how can a person who was, I was born here in Washington, D.C. Okay, we identify as black and white, but I don't know any indigenous African languages at all.
I don't
know what kind of foods they eat or nothing like that. So how can we... We're two different, completely different cultures. We might have the same skin tone.
Brother L.A., you know what? You raised a very interesting point. See, you just said something that, hey, look, really brings this to the forefront. Now, you say when a Nigerian come over here, they don't consider themselves as black. When a Cameroon comes over here, or any other country, they don't consider themselves as black. Well, guess what? When you go to that country, they don't consider themselves Nigerian. They consider themselves Wolof or Yoruba or Hausa,
yeah,
what the hell they are.
They belong to the, they identify by tribe, and
exactly.
A tribe typically has a language, you know,
and a culture.
And they have their own culture.
And a tradition. So now the thing is that you just raised a very important point. So now they're divided. They're divided by every darn thing. Now the only reason black folk over here is divided is because we want to be. But look, they're divided over there. You can't, if a Nigerian, he refers to himself as a Nigerian, but now when he goes back to his homeland, he's a Yoruba or a Hausa or what the hell he is.
Let
so,
me say something,
the thing is, they don't know who the hell they are. They can't organize around nothing. Go ahead.
Let me say something, L.A. You know, when you go to Nigeria, you know what they're going to call you? They're going to call you Kata.
Exactly.
There's several of them.
Exactly.
You know, when you go to my wife's country, you call Obruni. You know what those words mean? You're a white man. You're a white man.
Do any of you listen to Philip Scott? I don't know if he still has a blog talk show, but he's on YouTube every now. When he went over to Africa for the first time, I think he went to Kenya. And he got his feelings hurt because that the first one that you said about Pianki, he didn't expect that when he went over there. Yeah. He got his feelings hurt when he got called that.
Because he ain't African. Blacks in America are not Africans. They are United States citizens, and even Africans look at them that way. And that's probably one of the – and see, here's another thing. You always hear the term where you got these black voices say, yeah, we had our language stole away from us and our culture. And when they separated us because of our language. Have you ever heard that before?
I've heard it plenty of times.
They separated us because of our language. Then you got this guy on here now saying that we could, well, hell, they're not the same. That's why come they not going to get together. They're not the same. What you call blacks and African Americans, they are not the same. That's why they ain't going to come together. How is it that you can say they're different in one voice But then you want to criticize them because they won't come together. Why? Because they different. I ain't like you, Beasley. My kids wouldn't play with yours.
Thank God.
Do you understand that?
Thank God.
Everybody belongs to a tribe.
Listen, Brother L.A., you know what? See, I like the way you bring up conversations. Because what it does is it really shows sophistication of thinking. And look, you just raised a very important part. Look, those people over there on that continent don't even consider themselves as Africans. They consider themselves by their tribes. And when they cut up those countries, the European powers cut up those countries, see, that's what they did. They cut it up to create confusion so that they could divide and conquer. And
now,
Beasley,
to be fair, now in a lot of European countries, they're tribal too. Once again, going back to Ukraine, you better not call a Ukrainian a Russian, and you better not call a Russian a Ukrainian. Two different cultures. They even have two. Ukrainian is a language. Russian is a language. And then within both of those countries, as in many European countries, I mean, they're different dialects and all this other stuff. And, you know, the whole planet is tribal.
That's what makes America.
Let me tell you something, L.A., to go to show you how this misinformation is put out. You say they don't call themselves African. That is a lie. They describe themselves as coming from the African continent. The country is Nigeria. And it's further divided into segments within there. Nigeria has 35, what you call provincial territories within that country of Nigeria. The same thing is with the United States. You are on a continent called America. You are from a country called United States. And within the United States, they have 50 separate countries that have come together as states for a particular reason, which I don't want to get into. So, yes, they identify I'm from the African continent. Man, why don't you people stop telling these lies?
They start with their
tribe. I had somebody argue with me yesterday saying that Cleopatra was black. Cleopatra the Seventh was not black. Her skin. Now, this is what they say. Elizabeth, have you heard this? Elizabeth Taylor should not be playing Cleopatra.
I have heard that.
Well, Elizabeth Taylor looked more like Cleopatra than Viola Davis would. They crazy,
I
man.
I believe she had a Macedonian or Greek bloodline.
She was Persian.
What was her mama? Was her mama a European?
Was
Cleopatra's mama
European?
All right,
her father's bloodline,
I believe, was European.
What was her mama?
There was no European during the time of the Cleopatra and also Caesar.
Europe did not exist as we know it today back then.
He's trying to fool and trick you. Let him talk. He's going to try to trick you. Let him talk.
Also, what was her mama's racial ethnic group called back then?
I'm going to look it up now. Cleopatra the Seventh. Okay. But go ahead, Beasley, out to Florida while I look this up.
You know what? You started off with one thing.
Beasley, let me tell you
African.
Something.
And look, Africa covers a whole range of populations. And the thing is, it starts with their tribe first. And then it goes with the country that the Europeans created, that they carved up. Then they refer to the land that they're on as Africa. But the thing is, the average one of them locally within their countries subscribe to being called by their tribal name. So now they come over here, they're Africans, but when they're in their homeland, they're Yoruba Hausa. In fact, that's the way they're fighting over there. They are fighting each other all the darn time because of their tribal traditions and cultures. But no, when they're over there, they're considered by their tribe. So now this thing about what I said is true. Now, if they go to another country in Africa, in the sub-Saharan Africa countries, they're looked at as tribes by their tribal names and their tribal identity. They don't identify as Africans over there within the land that they're living in.
L.A., have you ever heard of something called, I want you to look this up, because he said that Africans, Nigerians, don't call themselves African. I want you to look up the term ECOWAS. E-C-O-W-A-S.
E-C-O-W-A-S.
Then I want you to look up the term African Union. Then there's another term I want you to look up called SADC. But look up ECOWAS. And what definition did you come back with ECOWAS?
You talking about Economic Community of West Africa?
Yeah, that's
West
what it
African
is.
West African.
That's what it is.
So for him to say that these people don't identify as African is a bunch of malarkey. That's what I tell you, man. You can't listen to these fools. They come up with all this damn stuff. They miseducated. They ain't never been nowhere.
When you look, Brother L.A., when you say NATO, that's North American Atlantic Treaty Organization, isn't it?
That's
no,
what
it is not.
It does not
mention no North America. There you go again, Lion. Man, you need to go back
to
bed.
North Atlantic.
North Atlantic.
Damn.
Yeah, North
now
Atlantic.
Now you wonder why your kids don't know nothing.
He can't hear very well. I said North Atlantic, didn't I?
You said North America.
I didn't. I said North Atlantic.
L.A., did he not say North America?
Look, let's get past that, man. Let's not get petty up here. Make your point, Beasley.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization. That's composed of what? European nations, right? In the North Atlantic region.
Right, and Ukraine has applied for membership.
Exactly. But now what I'm telling you is this. But they're separated by their countries and the ethnic groups. But now when you dig down into those countries, they have different languages, different traditions, and different cultures. I think I said
that
right. Now for the sake of them coming together over there at ECOWAS, yeah, those governments come together as an African Union. But when you go down into those countries, they don't refer to themselves as Africans. They refer to themselves as tribes. And their traditions and everything is even within those countries. So now, why will we apply one standard to one group of people and not the other group of people? So, I mean, we can get into semantics, but look, I want to get back to your original question.
Where
because, see,
what?
We get out there and not come, and not make common sense available to the minds. You ask, what is a black person? You ask, what does black mean? You ask, I gave you definitions. You read those definitions, and those definitions were quite clear. And I'm going to go with this. We never question a person that says, I'm a white person. We are not confused when it comes to white folk. But when it comes to black folk, and look, Latinos and Hispanics, we're never confused when it comes to them. And they're organized around a language. They have different traditions, come from different countries. They have different cultures. In fact, they have different dialects. But see, when they have a problem, they come together to solve a problem.
But when it comes to us, black folk, we got to have a bunch of questions surrounding us. Asian American Pacific Islanders. They come from different parts of the Asiatic countries there. But when they come together to get a hate crime bill, they didn't have any confusion. They didn't say, well, you know, what is an Asian? Or either what's a Pacific Islander? They came together for a common cause. But when it comes to black folk, we have a whole lot of confusion and a whole lot of questions and a whole lot of arguments. But I gave you the four definitions. You read them. And the thing is, we came with this African-American Priscilla Hines carrying all of this stuff. Yeah. But when you go with black, that covers it all. And the thing is, that's the one thing that the white man fears. With you referring to yourself as black to cover all of these little differences and all of these little traditions and all of this other stuff, if you come together under one banner like they do, then he in white supremacy and racism has a problem. But we can't do that because of this foolishness that we indulge ourselves in. So that's all I got to say.
Hey, L.A., let me say something.
Sure, bro. You got
to dispel the myth that this guy had just said on Asia. You know, Bangladesh is an Asian country.
That's true.
Malaysia is an Asian country.
That's true.
We're Asian. You got Philippines. These people, if they in the United States, you got these Negroes, want to call them black. Melanated people. We got the pioneers in Yemen. Is some of the blackest people you ever want to see.
That's
skin
true.
Color. So there he go again, trying to throw some crap in there to get
and
people.
And you know what?
Confused.
Now the people that you just mentioned, the people that you mentioned, I'm talking the Dravidians. None of those dark skinned people. Now the ones I've run into, they don't refer to themselves or identify as black.
Exactly. They sure don't. They don't. They do not, and they as dark as anything you want to see. The people
yeah,
on the Andaman
Islands,
they're off of Asia. They are not only black, they got some of the unadulterated blood on the planet. They don't consider themselves as black.
That's
as,
right.
It's turn white. So why are you coming up with this stuff, man? Look, I done told you several times. Don't be coming up against me with no mess like that. Stay in your own league.
But see, that's where that look. All you're doing is just validating my point. You validating
the
point.
I ain't validating nothing. The point was the question was what is black, and you go to all this stuff, self-identity. You know, Marcus Garvey was not a United States citizen. Was he L.A.?
But he considered himself as a Negro.
His ideology wouldn't go no place amongst Jamaicans, would they, yeah. Elliot? Matter of fact, they threw rocks at
him. Did Marcus Garvey consider himself as a Negro or a Jamaican or a Jamaican Negro?
Well, he was Jamaican. I know that much.
He considered himself a Negro. What was his organization? The United Negro
Improvement Association. No, that wasn't it. All right.
What? Okay. Wait. Let me say this. If you look up the word Negro, what is the definition of Negro?
Oh, that's dark. That's the Spanish
black.
Word for dark.
It's
black.
Portuguese black. It's black.
Yeah,
for now,
black.
Look.
Yeah.
He used that term all across the world. His organization is the only organization that spanned the whole continent. Everywhere he went, he used that term. And everybody accepted that term. Even down in Australia, over in India, and everywhere else. Look up where his organization was. All in the Caribbean, South America, and everywhere else. Everybody that had black skin organized under that organization called Negro. So now, you know, this thing, what he's talking, you know what? It doesn't hold water.
Well, you know what? I'm going to call Warren Houston. Listen, I'm going to call Warren Houston later today and set up a – so Warren can – Warren, he knows an anthropologist. Maybe we need to have an anthropologist in this discussion because I'm definitely not one.
No, you don't need no anthropologist. Don't be wasting nobody's time. Let me tell you something about the word Negro. You got any ink cartridges in your home for your printer?
Yeah, I do.
You got Magnega, you got blue, yellow, and your black ink. Look on there and see what they call it. They call it Negro. They were talking about ink. Ink.
We ain't talking about ink. We're talking about a sociopolitical.
That's what the definition of Negro meant before it meant anything else. Even Matt Sparrow, and he has a plaque on the side of the Cairo Museum where he speaks of people being Negroid and not Negro.
What does Negro
was one of the listen, I'm talking. Have I told you about trying to talk over me?
Well, so do you, but anyway, go ahead.
Negro, what is the species of early anthropology? Negroid, Caucasoid, Mongoloid?
And Mongoloid.
Not Negro.
What does Negroid mean? Get the dictionary, Brother L.A.
Well, let me look it up. Definition of Negroid.
Oh, God.
Okay, Negroid, relating to the division of human mankind represented by the indigenous peoples of Central and Southern Africa.
Which are?
Wait a minute. Let's see. Oh, that's what that reads. I'm looking for that. What
you
is Negroid embology?
You know what they mean, but look.
Wait a minute. What about the Caucasus?
All right, hold it. Negroid was a word for a person from sub-Saharan Africa. The group of these persons were called Negroid race. In former times, many people divided human beings into three races. These races were called Negroid, Mongoloid, and Caucasoid. Today, scientists agree that there's only one human race.
That's right.
L.A. Mendel, the German, I can't think of who he is. I sent you that information on him. He was the one that divided the human race into four different names. And what you named was three of them, but there was four
it's
of them.
Three different names. There ain't no four.
You can look, it is four of them. But you can look it up.
What's the fourth
and the
one?
Thing is,
what's the fourth one?
I'm going to have to get to you, but the thing is.
You see what I'm talking about? They try to bamboozle you. What do you associate with Caucasoid, L.A.? What skin color?
I'm glad you brought that up. Because when I hear white, I think European. And Europeans, somebody from England, Finland, Sweden, Portugal, those are Europeans. They're not Caucasians.
Right.
Ukrainians are Caucasians in the Caucasus area,
you know what color the people are? Some of the people, their skin color is black. Been there
You're
forever.
Right. The operative word with Caucasian is Asian. White people... Europeans are not Caucasians, and Caucasians are not Europeans.
You have been made and tricked to believe like that Frances Coyle Wilson, who I think she had a white boyfriend. She come up, and people listen to that stuff, and they totally all off base. Then they want to come up with something called critical race theory and say that's the history of American black folks. That is a damn lie. They need to get off of that stuff. And you know what they are? Because people nowadays are becoming smarter, especially young blacks. They don't go for that damn mess. They are taught better. They have much things at their disposal, resources and so forth. You try to have that discussion with my grandson, he will walk away from you.
Beasley?
The guy's name is Gregory Mendel, and he divided the humans into those four groups, genetic groups. And I'm trying to get it.
What's the fourth group, though, Beasley?
I'm trying to get it for you now because I did have it one time. But I'm going to send it to you because I can't get it to you now for the sake of time. But look, let me tell you this. Everybody else is organizing around their racial ethnic groups. And the thing is, the reason why black
everybody
folks
else
in this country is suffering the way they are is because, see, we can't get together because of these types of conversations. Now, everybody else got
there. Hold on, Beasley, now, I understand what you're saying, but all right, let's take a Dravidian, okay, who they're very dark, midnight dark. But on a DNA level, they have a different DNA from any African-American or what we call black in this country. Oh, that's on a DNA level.
What's Harris?
But
is Harris black? Vice President Harris, is she black?
You know what? It depends on who you're talking to, who's talking to her. Or who's talking
her, parents is from, her parents are Brahmin from India. Brahmin and Dravidians are two different people. The Sanskrit.
That's on her mother's side. That's on her mother's side. Her dad's side, he's Jamaican, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if we take this to a DNA level, you know.
You know something? Have you ever heard of Jamaicans? Wait a minute. Have you ever heard of Jamaicans?
I haven't. I heard of Jamaicans, but is that the same thing?
You know what Jamaicans are? Jamaicans are German extract that are born, have been there in Jamaica for a long, long time.
There are a lot of Germans in Jamaica. True.
So what I'm trying to say, and I'm going to let you get off the air, I don't want to take up no more of your time with such foolishness, is that these in America, you got these groups, these activist groups that try to portray their ideologies on the rest of the group. See, the one of the things that disturbed them is that they only a handful, they're kind of like the Maytag man. Nobody calls you. They don't represent nothing no more than themselves. They try to encompass all black, like the Republic of New Africa and the Nation of Islam and all of them, and yet Malachar York, and it just goes right on down through history. They're trying to encompass all black, and blacks are telling you, we are not that. Then they want to insult black and say there's something wrong with their minds. No nation, no ethnic group of people identify themselves entirely because of their skin color. Human beings don't do that. So why do you say that, quote unquote, those with non-lily white skin is supposed to associate themselves with these words? As I said before, in the area of the Caucasus, what they call the Caucasus, you got people with dark skin that don't consider themselves as black. In the Himalayas, in the Ural Mountains, they have dark skin. They don't consider themselves black. So anybody that try to throw that on them might get a damn shot upside the head. I got to get out of here, man. I'll talk to you later. Somebody
say this for the LA, and the thing is this. Uh-huh. See, we go way out there on something that really is not advantageous to us. We're talking about here in America. We're the ones that's living in this country with this type of setup. And the thing is, now all of that other stuff that we've discussed is bull. We're talking about what it's going to take to survive in the environment we're in. And the thing is this, you know and I know that everything is set up according to racial identity.
In this country, it is.
All right. And now all of that other stuff, you can throw that out the window. You can flush that down the toilet with the rest of the stuff. But the deal is we know what it's going to take in the environment we're in to survive because we're being oppressed by a system that's color-coded. Now, you can go wherever you want to, and you can come up with all of these other admixtures you want to. But if we're going to survive, we're going to have to come up and survive around the identity we're in because that's what is really affecting us in this environment. So now, if we can get out there with all of this other crap, but now that's the way it is. But I found those four races. The world population can be divided into four major races, namely white, which is a Caucasian, Mongoloid, which is Asian, Negroid, which is black, and Australoid. That's the four terms. And he said this is based on the racial classification made by Carlton S. Coon in 1962. But Mendel, the German biologist, was the one that started all of this mess. But those are the four races that they have concluded that they have divided
now,
us
you
in.
You got when it comes to the asteroid from Australia, you got Australians aboriginals that can be midnight black to lily white.
And
they identify as, because over there you got Aboriginals, you have Torres Strait Islanders. Like I say, they run the spectrum too, but a lot of this comes down to politics.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know,
and that's the
a lot
point
of
that I made.
Politics.
That was the fact that I was trying to get across to that fellow over there. See, this is a thing of power. This is made up of power, and the thing is, a certain group has determined that in order for them to suppress everybody else, they got to organize around their color. And it's global. God dang it, a white person is a white person regardless of whether he's in England or if he's living in Asia or anywhere else. When they go into a place, they set up and say, look, I'm white and you're the other. Now, that's the way it's been through history for millenniums. And for us to deny that fact, I mean, we're just fools. But I'm just telling you now, Mendel was, and I'm going to get you the thing on Mendel, the German biologist that started this thing. But I'm just telling you now, that's why we're suffering now because of this foolishness that we just had this morning. And I'm going to let you go.
Okay, but hold on. But if we even go deep, we ain't got enough time for today. But, all right, let's eliminate the white and Asian and all this other stuff. If we take it to the church community at large, we can't get together on religion, okay? You got the AME, the AME Zion, you got the Baptist, you got the Southern Baptist, you got Fred Price, you got the Potter's House, you got Creflo Dollar. We have all this. Everybody around the planet is tribal. That's how I look at it.
But L.A., you know what? That's what makes the American black person the most powerful group on the planet. See, the white man has removed all of that from us. And we know, based on our experience with this guy in this country, we're either Negroes, we're either colored, or we're black. And we have progressed to the point now that we recognize ourselves as black people. And that's what's so frightening. Now, you know what? I don't care what religion you go to. I don't care what your educational level is. We know ourselves as black now because what has happened is the white man removed all of that foolishness from us. And you don't get an argument. Now, you might go with African American or ADOS or Foundation of Black Americans or whatever the hell you want to come to, But the underlying fact is we know we black in this society, and we're treated because of our black color. And the thing is, that's what makes us so powerful, because look, under one banner, that's what we identify ourselves as. Even if we can refer to ourselves as African-American, we know we black. So that's what's so frightening with the system of white supremacy. And look, I just gave you an example. Marcus Garvey used Negro. Now, those Australian Aborigines, when they came up to the meeting, the UNIA worldwide meeting, they came up under the banner of Negro. They weren't confused because, look, you had a branch of the UNIA down in Australia.
Yeah.
And that's what's so powerful about this thing. The white man knows that if you start spreading this thing about you're black, he's got a problem. And I end on that note.
The Aboriginals were almost wiped out. Almost wiped out. But,
well, let me give you one. The Tasmanians was another branch of the Aborigines down there, and they wiped them. They killed all of them. And then they made a cartoon about the Tasmanian devil as a way of a cartoon character. And those Tasmanians were just as black or even blacker than the Aborigines.
They're right. There might be a handful of Tasmanians still around, but you are right. They were nearly wiped off the map completely.
The last remaining Tasmanian died in 19-something. I'm going to send you that. Because the last one died. It was a woman. They completely wiped them out. Hunted them like deer and foxes and every damn thing else.
And that was tragic. Tragic.
It's tragic. But
because you have not only Aboriginals, but you got Torres Strait people over there as well. Then you got the Maori people as well. It's totally fascinating. But well, when we were using the term, Felisa Blassie, when we were using the term black or African American, you basically just got to tune into what context are those terms used in with the conversation, or just start off with, all right, what's your definition of black? Because I was listening to it on a Clubhouse about a month or so ago, Clubhouse discussion on reparations in California, what they're doing out there. And somebody mentioned, should skin tone be included in the definition? The person that they brought up was Adam Clayton Powell, I think the third. And if you look at Adam, he's very fair-skinned. He can pass for a white person. But some people have a problem with anybody of a lighter skin tone, although on a heritage level and on a DNA level, they deserve it. But, I guess with all this stuff, people are going to have to come up with a definitive definition of what is what, in order, because you're right. If you don't unite around an identity, nothing's going to happen for you.
And look, let me give you this one, Brother L.A. There ain't no confusion at all when it comes to the black people here in this country. The thing is this. Most of us can trace our lineage back to slavery. I can and you can. So now, that ain't no problem. And look, the census. The census will go in. Look, those people kept very detailed files for political reasons. So, I mean, we don't have to be confused. People want to make it a confusing issue. But, hell, we can go back, and we got that documentation. You can go to the 1870 census and get that. I can trace my family back into slavery. So now, that ain't no problem. You can too. I bet you you can go back to where one of your ancestors was a slave.
Well,
so
I'm
now,
pretty sure I can.
You know, a lot of people just throw that shit out there to try to confuse the issue, try to come up with causes why you're not supposed to get reparations if it ever come to being. But I'm going to go back to where I always go back to with you. The only reason I bring it up is because I want to make sure that the future generations know how they got to where they are and what happened to their ancestors and forefathers and mothers. That's the only reason I bring it up. I could give a damn about money or programs or anything else. But you have to have that history included in your curriculum, in your families, to let people know that, hey, look, this thing happened to us. And if you're not careful, it'll happen again. In fact, they're putting us in slavery now. They got slave catchers in the United States called drug dealers.
Let me ask you this question as a wrap-up. Sarah Rector, who I'm sure you know who she was. Sarah Rector, and for people out there listening, look up Sarah Rector, Oklahoma. Just put in Sarah Rector, Oklahoma. Sarah Rector at one time was, I don't know who did this within the government, but she didn't do it herself. But she was recognized as a white person.
But if you look at her picture,
there's no way. There's no way. But she was, due to her wealth, she was recognized as a white person. She didn't identify herself that way. What do you say, Beasley?
They did that to rip her off and to separate her off from the people. Her trustee was a white boy. A white boy was her trustee that was ripping her off for years.
Yeah.
But now, the thing is this, Brother L.A., you know what? A white boy can change your classification anytime he wants to. If he can make a Dravidian Indian like Vijay Singh, have you ever heard of him?
I've heard of the name.
The golfer that won the Masters.
Okay.
He was jet black. I mean, he was greasy black. But he's from India, and they classified him as a white boy. So it doesn't matter about the classification. That's why when you say you're going to bring up the lawyer down there in Houston and bring an anthropologist in here, that don't mean nothing. Yeah, at the stroke of a pen, I can make myself black if the white boy wants me to be that way. You know, but I want you to do this the next time you go to Oklahoma. I want you to ask those people down there if they classify themselves as Indian. And look, some of those people are still living this in Tulsa, I guess. A couple of them is about 107 years old.
Well, Sarah Rector was classified as Cherokee.
Yeah, but she identified herself as black or a Negro, a color. I've read on Sarah Rector.
Yeah, she did.
But the next time you go to Taft, Oklahoma, or everywhere you go in Oklahoma, in those places, ask them if they're Indians or if they're black. But now the law says that any black person or ex-slave that was under the Indians as citizens, as a slave.
About the so-called five civilized tribes?
Right. If you were a slave under those Indians, then you had the same rights and privileges as the Indians that you were slaves under, which they identified you as an Indian. That's in the regulation. That's in the law.
That's how Sarah Rector got rich off of that.
That's right. But now, that was a law to make sure that they got the same thing that those Indians got that had enslaved them. But they weren't Indians. They weren't Indians as far as identity is concerned, but the law said that you have to classify them as an Indian, and they're supposed to get the same benefits as the Indians they were slaves under. But you got people
Have you been to the Native American Museum in D.C.?
No, I have not.
if you ever get through D.C. and you get time to sightsee, check out that museum, because a lot of the docents or the tour guides that they have in there Native American. But if you look at these people, you're trying to you think of $5 Indians.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the name? That politician, I can't think of a name right now. She was a $5 Indian.
Oh, you talking about, I know who you're talking about. She ran for president?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can see her face now. She wears glasses. I know it.
Elizabeth Warren.
But yeah, that's it, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, she was a $5 Indian.
Mm.
But you know,
I don't
LA,
get
we,
that.
We can, yeah, but we can't get twisted with this thing. You can pick any identity you want to be under. In fact, Hispanics made themselves an identity. The Jews made themselves an identity for survival reasons.
Right.
And if black folks don't have the sophistication to do the same thing, we're going to be wiped out in this country.
Well, isn't that, okay, let me ask you this question. Isn't that the, isn't that what ADOS is doing? African descendants of slaves? Because that's an identity, I believe.
You can make it an identity, but it's a movement, but you can make it that. You can, if you just say, I'm a black American, which I don't approve of, as long as you use whatever you want to use, you can use Negro like Marcus Garvey did, whatever it is. You can call yourself a cow if you want to, but you've got to come up with one common denominator that says we can identify ourselves as this particular group. Now, slavery could be a part of it because that's the only way us black folks in this country got here. That's traditional black Americans. Now, these Johnny come lately like Jamaicans or Caribbean and Africa and South America and all of that. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's different. But
the West Indians, they identify, they got their own identity. I mean, if you're Jamaican, you're Jamaican straight up.
That's right. They come under a political banner.
Right.
But they're into something else. But yet, like you said before, if black folks are going to survive, you're going to have to come up on the identity banner. It doesn't matter whether you light skin or what. But that's the thing that got us. It has to overrule any other division we got: sororities, religion, education, regardless. And look, when those people came out in 1865, they weren't confused. Mondellini said that we were Africans. He weren't confused because you were so close to your origin that's what those people named their organizations and themselves as, Africans.
Right.
But we have evolved out here now. And we let people like the NAACP and everybody else come in here and confuse us. And that's where we got the problem.
You need a common denominator. All right, Beasley, I'm going to wrap it up here for the day. Everyone have a good rest of the day.
Take care.